Chapter 18. Friday, June 28, 1776. Received information that a most horrid plot was on foot by the vile Tories of this place to assassinate His Excellency and the other general officers, blow up the gunpowder magazine, spike the cannon, etc. Hope they will receive the punishment due such infamous wretches. Journal of Samuel B. Webb, Washington's aide-de-camp. Shortly after the clock struck 10 on Friday morning, thousands of boots echoed against the cobblestones on Broadway. Every soldier in New York was marching up island to attend the hanging of Thomas Hickey, the man who almost assassinated General George Washington. Becky urged me to go.
There's nothing like a good hanging, is there?
She gave the face of the grandfather clock another swipe with the dust rag. Keep an eye on your sister, though. Little ones disappear in big crowds.
What about Madam? I asked.
Nothing to worry about there, eh?
Becky pointed upstairs where Madam lay atop the coverlet on her bed, asleep. She had stayed muddy in strong wine since Lockton fled the city. The thought of a hanging turned my belly. But Colonel Reagan would likely be there. Perhaps he would provide an escort for Ruth and me direct from the gallows to the wharf.
Go on, Becky said again. It'll be good for you to get some air. Fetch a bucket of water home with your mind. I wager Madam will wake with a thumping headache.
Ruth and I found ourselves in a tide of people moving north. The wave spread out once it reached the commons where the prison, the barracks, and a large sugar house stood. Beyond the hills to the north lay the African burial ground, and beyond that, the big pond called the Collect. This was the one spot in the city where 20,000 folk could gather. I could scarce credit the number, but it was on everyone's lips. Ruth watched the crowd with big eyes and shy smiles for strangers, but she did not release my hand and kept her doll baby clutched tight to her. I half expected to see vendors selling cinnamon water, boiled sweets, and currant cakes, and a conjure man who could juggle two balls and a stool. There were none in sight, but the air of high spirits made it feel like a fair day. I took Ruth by the hand and led her around the backside of Bridewell Prison toward the tea water pump, where there were other slaves and servants gathered. I nodded polite and murmured my good day to the old man we called Grandfather and the others who were familiar. Ruth sat in the dust. I turned our bucket upside down, sat on it, pulled a length of string from my pocket, and wove it into a fanciful pattern around my fingers.
Catch cradle,
Ruth said, clapping her hands. We lost ourselves in play, our fingers making candles, triangles, diamonds, and the manger. Suddenly, there came a rough shout from the center of the commons. The crowd muttered, some folks craning their necks to see. Ruth giggled and held out her hands to me. She had made a complete mishmash of the string and could not untangle her fingers from the knot. There came another shout. Then the drummers started beating their snares. The noise crackled like lightning. Game's over, I said to Ruth, freeing her hands and pulling her to her feet. The crowd surrounding the commons had swelled to include the entire army and every soul in the city except for Madam and Becky. I scanned the rows of officers lined up behind the gallows, looking for Colonel Reagan. I could pick out General Washington astride his big gray horse at the center of the line. Next to him was the rather large figure of Colonel Knox and countless other officers I could not name. Colonel Reagan was not to be seen, but he could have been rows to the back. Blast! I should have realized they would be in formation, not scattered amongst the common folk. Another shouted order echoed off the stone front of the prison. Near 100 soldiers stepped out of the ranks and snapped to attention. The bayonets fixed to the ends of their long muskets flashed in the sun. The drummers continued beating, sweat trickling down their faces.
Bet you never saw this out in the country,
a familiar voice said in my ear. I whirled with a gasp. Corzine laughed at my astonishment.
Miss me? He asked.